The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Woke Howard Stern and Adam Carolla have both weighed in on Jimmy Kimmel, who apparently is coming back now tomorrow night. Will he open with an apology? I guess one of the things, just a quick observation, is that the war on censorship really lasted a long week, like a whole 3 days. You know what I mean? The war on speech lasted like a whole 3 days. I have not heard from Brendan Carr, the FCC chairman. I think they put a gag order on him, which is probably a good idea, because they turned his comments turned Jimmy into a martyr. Jimmy Kimmel, that is. And had he not said anything and just let Sinclair and Nexstar do their thing, and ABC Disney China, I think, was tired of paying Kimmel, I think Kimmel would have been gone. But by the FCC chairman opening up his mouth and making this about him, basically, he helped turn Jimmy Kimmel into some sort of a free speech martyr. So then what happened is you had all these people turning around and saying that they were going to boycott. They were going to boycott ABC Disney China, with even Woke Howard Stern saying, and I sent you guys a clip, but it has to be edited, I think, saying he was canceling his Disney Plus subscription. And if you just were to Google Jimmy Kimmel today, and this didn't happen after Colbert, by the way. This didn't happen after Colbert. The difference is that Colbert, there was no threats from Brendan Carr preceding his termination. You know what I mean? It just happened where they said, we're not renewing the show, and the show's over, and that's the end of it. Whereas with Kimmel, the left was able to turn him into some sort of a free speech martyr because the FCC chairman opened his mouth and stuck his gigantic foot into it by threatening the guy. And that was a huge mistake. But prior to this, you had stories like this. Let's see if I can find it here. See, now it's all updated to say that Jimmy Kimmel's returning to his show. But when I was doing a little bit of show prep earlier today, before all this happened, they were talking about all the stars who were boycotting things because of Jimmy Kimmel being let go. They were boycotting things, festivals and all this other stuff, to protest Disney. And that was happening. Now, if the FCC chairman had not put his gigantic foot into his mouth, then what would have happened is I think Jimmy Kimmel would have been gone. I think he would have been gone. Because I think what would have happened is the affiliates would have turned around and said, he's not delivering for us at 11:30, and we don't like his comments, and it doesn't jive with our audience, so we're dropping him. And ABC Disney China would have used that as an excuse to pull him, and that would have been fine, and that would have been the end of it. And it would have been the private sector doing its thing. Instead, the government regulator comes out and opens his mouth and makes an example out of this. And then that government regulator then is able to give the Democrats and the left a talking point. And then the Democrats and the left are able to turn around and make a hero out of Jimmy Kimmel when he doesn't deserve to be a free speech martyr. And then they're able to bring him back and look like they won and look like it was victory. You see how incredibly stupid all of this was by Brendan Carr, the FCC chairman? How incredibly stupid this was? Now, all of these people on the left and all of these people in media are going to act like they just won. Like they won a massive victory. They haven't won anything, and his contract's up in May. And my guess is by May he'll be gone. But for the moment now, they're going to take a giant victory leap. And even if Jimmy Kimmel apologizes tomorrow night, it's not going to mean anything. It won't be a meaningful apology. It'd be like kind of apology my kids give when they do something that they go, sorry. They don't really mean it. But they know they have to say they're sorry. Otherwise, they're going to get grounded or the grounding is going to continue. You know what I mean? Like yesterday, for example, my daughter and her friends went into the crawl space where they're not supposed to go into and built a fort and had all kinds of food and snacks back there. And I said to her, you know, you're not supposed to do that. And I got the, sorry. Now, she's 9. You have to make it very clear at 9 years old that that's unacceptable. Otherwise, when she's 19, you will have a maniac on your hands. But that's the apology Jimmy Kimmel's going to give, which is the, oh, sorry. And you say, all right, well, you just lost your TV for a week, Jimmy Kimmel. I mean, my daughter lost her TV privileges for a week, but he lost his TV privileges for even less time. It wasn't even a week. It wasn't even a week that he lost his TV privileges. Think about that. My kids lose their TV privileges longer than Jimmy Kimmel has for saying insensitive things about Charlie Kirk and making people very upset. But the reason why he's back is because the FCC chairman helped turn him into some sort of a cause celeb and free speech martyr. It reminds me of Ronald Reagan saying, I'm from the government and I'm here to help. Like, nobody from the government ever helps. Had that guy shut his mouth and not said anything, and they just dropped Jimmy Kimmel, they would have said the same thing they said about Stephen Colbert. The show's too expensive, the show costs us too much money, and we're not moving forward anymore. You notice you haven't heard from Brendan Carr in a few days. I don't think we've heard from him since the Will Cain interview on Thursday of last week. My prediction is you probably won't hear him again go on television and radio, nor should he be allowed to. The White House should put an immediate gag order on him saying anything. They should also tell him to stop tweeting. I don't know if he has in a few days or not, but they shouldn't let that guy go near anywhere near a microphone. Anywhere even within the vicinity of a microphone. Like, if somebody may have a microphone, he shouldn't be allowed to go near it just on the off chance he comes around and says something stupid that makes it worse for us and makes it better for the left and gives them the ability to turn around and use it against us as being the speech police and everything else. So Brendan Carr's last tweet was from a hit he did on CNBC when he said, the ratings for legacy late night shows have been in a free fall, and you now have local TV stations that no longer want to air that programming. They're pushing back and making programming decisions that they believe are responsive to the local communities they serve. Well, guess what, genius? They're bringing them back tomorrow night. Because you made him a martyr. And now they all have to rally around him, and they all rallied around him, so now he's back on TV. Great work. Great job. You deserve a medal. You did a great job, Brendan Carr. Fantastic work here. Freaking hack. Unbelievable. See? This is what I mean. This is what I mean. I don't know who it was, if it was Richard from, well, I think it was Richard from Walla Walla who said, I don't know, is this guy there to make Trump look bad? Is he there to undermine Trump? I don't know. This certainly does not look good. It has not been a good week. And this is how it's going to eclipse. Because even if Kimmel comes out tomorrow night and gives a phony apology, you know it's not sincere. And ABC Disney does not want to keep him, but now they feel like they have to, because otherwise they're going to be viewed as the network of censorship. So you've saved this guy's career. Brendan Carr single-handedly saved Jimmy Kimmel's career. Think about this. In fact, Matt, there's your podcast title. Brendan Carr saved Jimmy Kimmel's career. Unbelievable. The stupidity of this. The absolute waste of time in this, and how the guy had a suspension. My kids have been punished harder than this guy has, Jimmy Kimmel, and whether he deserved it or not, he's now going to go back tomorrow night, and his ratings tomorrow night are going to be killer because everybody's going to be tuning in to hear what he has to say. So now you got to wonder if ABC Disney China did this now as a whole big publicity stunt just to help him bring up his ratings. Because that's what I'm wondering right now. And Brendan Carr was out there taking a victory lap like, oh, he had silenced him. And maybe we all just got played here. By the parent company, who now figured, oh, look at us. We're going to have tomorrow night huge ratings. Now, granted, they'll fall by Wednesday, but still. I mean, it won't last long, is my point, but you know what I mean. Here's Woke Howard Stern, and I guess the question I have for you is, do you think Woke Howard Stern won when it came to the fight with the FCC, or did he surrender with the fight to the FCC. I'm curious what you think about that. Listen to this clip. Take a listen.
As you know, ABC threw Jimmy off the air. I don't know what their plan is, but it looks like they might be firing her. And then I read sometimes that they're not going to fire him. I don't know. I have spoken to Jimmy. I didn't ask him these questions. I just asked him how he was doing personally. I just know when the government begins to interfere, when the government says, I'm not pleased with you, so we're going to orchestrate a way to silence you. It's the wrong direction for our country. And I should know. I've been involved in something like this. And now ABC is put in the same position. And it's unfortunate that ABC even has to be in this position. They shouldn't have to be in this position. I feel for them, too, in this. But that someone's got to step up and be saying, hey, enough. We're not going to bow. Now, it might sound stupid, but the thing I did this morning, I'm canceling my Disney Plus. I'm trying to say with the pocketbook that I do not support what they're doing with Jimmy.
Okay, I'm sure that woke Howard Stern's Disney subscription is going to be a real, you know, that I don't know how they're going to get over that. But he surrendered. If you look at it from the perspective of 25 years later, he stopped fighting them and went to satellite radio where they had no reach. So I don't know, was he a free speech champion or did he? Because the reason why I heard all those bleeps in there is that we had to bleep it because he kept cursing because he's on Sirius XM and he's allowed to do that in Sirius because there's no FCC. You know what I mean? So let's see. I wanted to read some comments on YouTube. Someone got yelled at Friday morning for his hot take. That's Road Warrior. I'm guessing he means Brendan Carr. Probably. I would think so. I haven't heard. I mean, because he hasn't said anything since. Since last week, he's not been on television. The guy couldn't stop. Yeah, Joe from Columbus said Trump should ban Carr from even going near a karaoke. That's a good one. No, he was. Yes, Justin, you're correct. He was an FCC commissioner during Trump 1, and he was an unabashed free speech champion fighting the Biden administration on censorship at every turn he got. And then so it made sense to make him chairman. It absolutely made perfect sense to make him chairman. It was and I applauded it at the time. I thought, oh, great. Good. Got a free speech warrior here. But now you realize this guy has just made a gigantic headache. And what did it accomplish? Nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing. And by the way, somebody else made the point about Jimmy Kimmel shouldn't have to apologize. I'm just wondering if ABC Disney China is going to make him. I wonder if he will. And I wonder if it'll be sincere. I don't think it will be sincere, even if he does. Is that what the agreement will be with the affiliates to take him back? I wonder. And then the other thing I wonder is, was this all just a game for ratings? Were they always, because it's been a friggin' week. Like, what's changed in a week? The deals haven't closed. The merger deals haven't gone through. What's changed? Did they lose that many Disney Plus streamers? Hey, DeSantis, how many people canceled their Disney Plus subscription out of curiosity? Can you find that out?
Yeah, I can find it out. Give me one second.
Yeah, I don't know is not the answer. The answer is you go to Google or ask ChatGPT or you go to, my God.
Well,
I'm not asking you. You're not a guy on the street.
Available.
I'm quizzing. I'm not quizzing you. I'm asking if there's any data published yet on how many people canceled their ABC Disney China Plus streaming service.
I'm guessing there won't be any public data, but I'll try to find something.
Okay. All right. Fine. I'm just curious. It's got to be more than woke Howard Stern. I would imagine. I would think
a story. There was a story about this Netflix actor. I don't know if you ever heard of him, Noah Centineo. He's popular among Gen Z. He canceled his Disney subscription, and he shared a screenshot of his cancellation. However, the screenshot revealed that his subscription would end like September 18th or something, 2026, which indicated that he bought the subscription simply to cancel it and then post the screenshot on social media, which I thought was funny.
So he basically was going to cancel it in the free trial period?
He paid for it just to cancel it. He didn't have it prior.
Did he even pay for it? Or was, because don't they give you 7 days free or something?
Yeah, you're probably right. He probably got like a week free.
Yeah, he probably got a week free and then was like, oh, I'm canceling this. Look at me. I'm not going to renew my free subscription. Take that, Disney. All I'm saying is that so dumb. So Brendan Carr is a dummy. I mean, what a dummy! Now you definitely got to abolish the FCC. There's absolutely zero point in this. Paul V. DeSantis uses Jeeves for his search findings. That's funny on multiple levels. Number one, because it's so irrelevant. Number two, because it sounds so elitist. Ask Jeeves. That's good.
Also, there is no credible source with an exact number that they're reporting, but there's anecdotal reports of like tens of thousands or possibly thousands, but again, none of them are verified.
There are dozens of us!
Yes.
There are dozens of us! So dumb. So dumb. Thanks for making him a martyr, Brendan Carr. Keep up the great work. Anybody else you want to comment on? Anybody else you want to threaten? You knucklehead? Oh, God. Honestly. Honest to God. I mean, just the sheer incompetence. The sheer level of incompetence of the people that wind up becoming bureaucrats. It's just amazing to me. Amazing! Amazing! Now I'm all fired up. My blood pressure was gone, was good, I was feeling good, and now I'm all fired up again. See? But at least to the administration's credit, they obviously told this guy, take a walk and don't say a friggin' word. Don't go near anything that may have a recording device near you, because we don't want to hear it. Because you've done nothing but make things more complicated for us. And that's not what we need right now. Here's Senator Rand Paul slamming the FCC chair's comments. We played you what Senator Ted Cruz said on Friday. And I wonder how much of this played into them telling them to not speak. Oh, by the way, Ann Gross sent me an email wondering about Ann Coulter. Can you forgive her? I can forgive her. Dawn can't. She's dead to Dawn. She'll be dead to Dawn forever. That's how Dawn is. If somebody crosses Dawn, that person's dead to them forever. There's no forgiveness. Dawn may forgive you, may forgive somebody who's done something to her, but she'll never forgive somebody who's done something to someone she cares about. That's the thing about Dawn Sensland's loyalty. There's nobody like that. Bo from Levittown says Carr was the perfect straw man for the left and a moron. Yep. Totally. Completely. Amazing. My God. I'm so annoyed by this right now. Here's what Senator Rand Paul said, 29.
I want to talk about ABC's decision this week to suspend Jimmy Kimmel's late night show after, of course, he was criticized for comments he made in the wake of Charlie Kirk's assassination. And hours after the FCC chairman, Brendan Carr, said this. Take a look.
I mean, look, we can do this the easy way or the hard way. These companies can find ways to change conduct, to take action, frankly, on Kimmel. Or, you know, there's going to be additional work for the FCC ahead.
Senator, do you believe that Brendan Carr's comments were appropriate?
Absolutely inappropriate. Brendan Carr has got no business weighing in on this. But people have to also realize that despicable comments, you have the right to say them, but you don't have the right to employment. Virtually everybody employed, probably including yourself, has a code of conduct in your contract that you have to adhere to. NFL players have it. Major League Baseball players have it. And if you don't adhere to that conduct, if you say things that are reprehensible or that glorify someone's death or make fun of it in some way, yeah, you can be fired. So the FCC should have nothing to do with it. But I do think that, a couple of the networks pulled out. Sinclair pulled out. They were disgusted by the comments. That's their right. You can be fired for not being popular also. I mean, this is television, for goodness sakes. You have to sell sponsorships. You have to sell commercials. And if you're losing money, you can be fired. But the government's got no business in it. And the FCC was wrong to weigh in. And I'll fight any attempt by the government to get involved with speech. I will fight.
Well,
good. I mean, I agree with everything you just said there. You can also be fired for not being attractive on television, too. Apparently not on MSNBC. They don't follow that rule over there, but on other stations. I'm just saying. All right. So real quick, let me play this for you. The president was asked a question about if you could eat only one thing for a week, what would it be? For a whole week. He sat down with Peter Ducey. Peter Ducey asked him a lot of things. So if you could eat one thing for a week, what would it be? The question I always ask is this question. It's not a week, because anybody could do anything for a week. It's if you could, if you were on death row, although it's probably not the right thing to ask a president, but what would your last meal be? That's always my question. Or if you had to only eat one thing for the rest of your life, what would it be? Because for a week, anybody could do anything for a week. So to me, the better question is, what if you could either, it's either, what's your last meal? Or B, you can only eat one thing for the rest of your life, what would it be? But anyway, here's Ducey with the president, cut 31.
If you could eat only one thing for a week, what would it be?
Forever?
Just for a week.
Oh, for a week? Probably steak. I like steak. I like a lot of foods, but I think steak is very good.
See, he didn't say burgers. That's a big, he's changing. He's changing. He's gone from burgers to steak. It's better because you don't have the bread, so it's better for you. So less carbs, less carby. He also asked him the question of what kind of cars? What kind of car would you want to drive? Got 30.
When you were a kid, what kind of a car did you always want?
I always wanted to have a Ferrari. Sounds strange.
Did you ever get a Ferrari?
I did. I actually had a Ferrari for a while. Now I buy American. I buy American. I love our American cars. And you know our car, I don't know if you know what's going on with the manual. We used to manufacture. We were the capital of the world for cars, right? And 52% of our car manufacturing was stolen from other countries. Mexico, Canada, Germany, China, Japan. They're coming back. They're all coming back. The numbers are incredible. So we're going to be manufacturing a lot of.
Now, Ferrari, great movie if you want to watch, by the way. Ford versus Ferrari. Great movie. Did you guys ever see that? DeSantis, I don't even know why I asked you. Justin, did you ever see it?
Love Ford versus Ferrari. Because I also spend every year. I'm a big motorsports head, so I watch the 24 hours of Le Mans every year. So I love getting like that old story from an old 24-hour Le Mans race.
You see that? Look at that. Wow. I mean, that movie was great. Christian Bale, of course, fantastic in everything he does. Batman. Mm-hmm. There'll never be another. True story and fantastic movie. And Ford beat Ferrari. Spoiler alert. DeSantis, do you know what a Ferrari is? Well, of course you do. You're an elitist. But do you know what a Ford is? It's an American-made car.
I've heard of them, yeah. I've never sat in one, but I've heard of them. No,
oh,
I've
please.
Seen the
Your
movie.
Whole garage I've is like Model. Movie. You have a Model T in there. You probably have a. You saw the movie? You saw Ford versus Ferrari, really?
I did, yeah. I liked it. It was a good movie. I think it was 2019, right? So, 2000, that's my cutoff. It cleared the barrier safely.
Yeah, good for you. Look at that. Well done. Impressive. Very impressive. Now, Dolly on the YouTube chat, by the way, just said, I was away for a bit. I see Jimmy Kimmel is back tomorrow night. Is this old news? Sorry if it is. Is she doing that just to get my blood pressure up? She's got to be punking me, right?
Those YouTube comments are endlessly entertaining, by the way. I'll check them out sometimes mid-show. There's always something exciting going on.
She's got to be punking me.
I'd like to believe that's the case.
Appolito says, Rich, in the words of Disney, let it go. It just happened. How could I let it go? It just freaking happened like 5 seconds ago. Oh, she says she wasn't punking me. No, she really stepped away. All right. Well, they got to hit the... I'm not talking about it again. I can't. My blood pressure. I can't. Go back and hit the Odyssey rewind button.
She can rewind the YouTube stream about, like, what, 10 minutes maybe?
Oh, yeah. Do that. I'm not on YouTube today because I had to quickly do an emergency fill-in for Fela, and I haven't showered or shaved or anything, so I didn't want to come on camera today. I'm very vain like that. My nose is super red. Now it's going to get redder with my blood pressure, so... So we're just doing like an old school radio show today, but we have the YouTube chat on so people can comment and we can show you clips. Look at that. Pretty amazing. It's amazing how that works. Technology is something special. All right, quick break here because we are expecting the FCC. No, we are not having the FCC chairman on. pretty sure he's not going to be coming on this show. And if the White House offers, I'm going to say, please don't offer him on any show. Just my advice. Just trying, again, trying to help. Just trying to help. Just trying to do my part to help, like I have since 2015. That's what I'm going to put on, trying to help since 2015. That's going to be my new tagline. Just trying to help since 2015. Okay? That's all I was going to do. So this is why I'm here. That's why I'm here. All right. So Tri-County Auto, fantastic people over there. Great people. And I'm really excited about their specials that they have going on right now. Here's what you want to do. You want to go to tricounty.com. Tri-County Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram. General Manager Jack is a great guy. He was at our we had our live show in the Hub, and Jack is a very funny guy. You want to go see him, or you can talk to Brian and Cheryl, the owners. Great people as well. But Tri-County Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram got great specials right now. I love driving a Jeep. I really do. I love it. It's so much fun. I love the passion. They got great specials right now. Even on the Grand Cherokee, you can lease a new 2025 Grand Cherokee for $459 a month for 36 months. I mean, that's fantastic right there. That's a great price. Or if you want to go Jeep Compass, they got that lease for $339 a month for 36 months. So they got a lot of great specials going on right now. But most importantly, like for example, if you want to go Toyota, 0% APR financing for 60 months on the 2026 Ram trucks. Well, that's Dodge, the Dodge Ram. But they also have great specials on Toyotas as well. Either way, Tri-County Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram, Tri-County Toyota, wonderful group of people dedicated to making you incredibly happy. And they even have previously owned vehicles at great prices, incredible incentives, great financing, and good people who stand with our show. They are our official show sponsor, Tri-County. That's right. And they stand with our veterans, and they're always helping our veterans too. They do so much for the Travis Manning Foundation. That's how I met them. That's how I got to know Brian and Cheryl, because of all the great work they did. And then we went out to dinner with them. Bridge and I had dinner with Brian and Cheryl about, I guess, a year and a half ago or something. And we had a fantastic time. Got to know them really well. And then I met Jack Robinson, the general manager, and I thought, this guy's a great guy. And got to know him and some of his sales team. Good people who care about us and will give you an incredible, incredible price, an incredible experience too, with no pressure, because that means a lot. It really does. It means a lot. And I think it matters where you go. And they're right off of Route 422, easy to get to, Collegeville, Limerick, Mainline, wherever you are, it's easy to go and worth the trip. Tricounty.com to see their inventory, to see their specials. Go meet the team. Thank them for supporting us. Thank them for supporting our veterans. Tricounty.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
On X, Kerry Marie said, I'm sorry, but did Wilk Howard Stern just say it's never good when the government interferes? This is the same guy who to this day champions the COVID jabs. Well, not only that, but he wanted people deplatformed during COVID for spreading misinformation and disinformation. He wanted them taken off and taken down. Howard Stern is such a hypocrite. I mean, I don't have the time right now, but maybe for tomorrow's show. During COVID, that guy was a staunch champion of the government policing speech. That's the thing. All the everybody on the left was. So they were all, this whole idea that they're free speech warriors is a joke. And this is what got me so fired up last week, is that we gave them this talking point now to be free speech warriors because of one guy's unbridled ego to go out there and keep talking about the issue. And that's the FCC chairman, when the free market was just doing its thing that it always does. But no, none of these people are consistent. None of them. I'm the most consistent person out there. But none of these people are consistent. None of them. They're not. They're all hypocrites. Like, I haven't justified this in any way. And I'm consistent. That's why. But these people on the left, they wanted censorship and deplatforming of everybody. And then Kimmel's gone. And they're all like, oh my God, the government, the First Amendment. Oh. And they don't mean it. It was all a scam for these people. It was all a scam. All right. We'll take a very quick break. Just so we can burn time, we'll welcome the new chairman of the Republican National Committee. That's the big story of the hour, brought to you by Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. He'll join us straight ahead. You want to hear what he has to say, what he's going to do for the Republican National Committee going forward. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
All right. Welcome back to the show. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. It's a pleasure to welcome to the show the new chairman of the Republican National Committee, Joe Gruters. And he joins us now for his debut appearance on the show. Mr. Chairman, welcome. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing fantastic, Rich. Thanks so much for allowing me to join you today. And if you can believe it, this is my first show as the new chairman.
Well, hey, we're honored. This would be your first show, and we'll make this very difficult on you, all right? We're going to make it real tough. You're a Florida guy, and that's good because that's you came from a state that at one point was a swing state, and you helped turn it solidly red. So that's great because we're, you know, Pennsylvania and New Jersey here. Pennsylvania, we want to make a solidly red state. We had a big night, obviously an election night, but we got some work to do. We got Jersey. We got a lot to talk about. But first of all, before we get into any of that, how did you become the Republican National Committee chairman?
Well, it's something I wasn't expecting about 2 months ago, but let me start with by just saying how much I love Philadelphia. My twin sister went to Villanova. She married a Villanova basketball player, T.J. Cowett, and so we go up to Philadelphia to watch a game every now and then, so I love your state, but in terms of how I became chairman.
And you guys got the Pope. Your sister's college got the Pope, yes. So there's that, too. Kind of a big deal.
Yeah, just a little bit. If you've ever seen the movie Twins, by twins like Arnold, I'm like Danny. She's a superstar. That's why she went to Villanova. Super successful. But the one thing about being chairman is it's like I got called up from the minor leagues. I've spent 22 years as a chairman, 4 as a club chairman, 14 as my county chairman, and 4 as a state party chairman, where we flipped Florida red. We registered over 1 million new voters on the Republican side. We flipped 4 congressional seats, won supermajorities in the House and the Senate. Yes, and it didn't come easy because just 8 years ago, we were winning elections at the top of the ticket by 1%. We lost some statewide races. And as chairman, I always say you get the credit and the blame. You probably don't deserve either. But we've had a lot of good people that came before me. We had a lot of good elected officials. And what really set us apart was 2 things. Number 1, universal school choice. I've served the legislature as a state senator. And by empowering parents to make the best decisions for their children, it's really changed the game in politics in Florida. That's number 1. Number 2, when COVID happened, you know, we kept our state open. And by doing that, all of a sudden we had these economic refugees, we had education refugees because of universal school choice, we had healthcare refugees because of our lack of mandates and our options in the schools. And we just took advantage of it. And of course, during the 2020 cycle, when Trump was firing on all cylinders, you know, Florida was the defensive wall. We couldn't win the nomination without Florida. And so what they did is they invested tens of millions of dollars in the Florida, kind of like what you see in Pennsylvania now, because now that is one of the battlegrounds. And as a result, what happened was it was like, you know, shooting fish in the barrel with these voter registrations. As people would move down, we would go knock on their doors. We would be actively take an aggressive position. We'd get these people to register. But I think that the real reason why I became chairman, well, I'll give you 2 reasons. Number 1, as the longtime chairman, I focus on the fundamentals. Number 1, registering voters, turning those voters out, and then, of course, protecting the vote. That's, if you focus on the fundamentals, everything else takes care of itself. That's what I think. And number 2, I've been with the Trump team and with the president since 2012, if you can believe it. We gave an opportunity to speak as our statesman of the year in Sarasota. And then we went on, and I was his chairman with Susie Wiles in 2016 and chairman in 2020 as number 1 guy in 2024. So I've been with the team for a long time. But at the end, I know there's a long answer, but the basic thing is I'm committed to doing whatever it takes to make sure that we give the president a full 4 years to make sure he continues to save the world, because that's what I think he's doing.
I think I love the story, and I think it's great. I was a Republican county chairman back in another life, and it's not an easy job. And then to go on to become a state chair is not an easy job, and to stay active in all this and not lose your mind is not easy. And then now to be at the helm of the national party is great. So I already hear the enthusiasm, and you're fired up, and that's great because we need that. We've had people in the roles on the state and local level who kind of don't really want to be there, and that enthusiasm that you have, is contagious. It really is. And we're at a moment right now where we got to make people believe that we can win again. That's what we had to do in Pennsylvania. As you know, we had to convince people that the vote would be secure, the vote would be fair, and to go out and vote. And that took a mind change. And it took people to believe in all of us and your predecessor, Chairman Michael Whatley, who did a fantastic job, that we could do this and do a great job. So the enthusiasm you have is very important. It's contagious. It's not a minor point, especially as we head into the New Jersey gubernatorial election, where Jack Cittarelli now has a tremendous chance of winning this race. He's now up by a point in a new poll that came out. Had the first debate last night. I thought he did a fantastic job. He's running against a candidate who has nothing to say. And when she does say something, it's either a gaffe or it's something horrific like she said about Charlie Kirk last week.
Well, listen, Jack almost won the race last time. And what the debate showed last night is that he is for the average everyday New Jersey. And if people are happy with the taxes they're paying and they want to pay more taxes, then they'll vote for Mikey. But if they truly believe that they're not getting the value of what they're paying into the system, then certainly Jack Cittarelli is the candidate to go with. I think he's a winner. I think he's I think he could turn the state around. I think he will cut taxes. I think he will focus on what makes American New Jersey great, you know, and that's empowering people with their own money and their own resources to do what's best for them. And on the flip side, Mikey here, you know, made $7 million off the taxpayers with the insider trading and was fined. And the question is, she would not commit to not raising people's taxes. I mean, that's the bottom line. If you think that you've paid enough, or then vote for Jack. If you want to pay more and get less, then vote for Mikey. I think it's a clear distinction. I thought the debate last night, I think Jack hit it out of the park.
Joe Gruters is with me. He's the new chairman of the Republican National Committee. It's great to have him on the show today. You can follow him on X at Joe Gruters, and we posted a link to that, too, so definitely give him a follow. This is his inaugural interview for radio and television, and we're honored to have him as he's now the new chair. He chose this show for his first interview, so I'm humbled. When you think about getting people motivated to vote, and as you we're doing a big rally in New Jersey October 10th. I'm speaking. We're doing it on the pier in North Wildwood. We're really excited about that. We I'm sure you probably know about this, and we're you know, fired up about it. What do you think the key is to getting people out, and how much should we as Republicans be embracing things like mail-in voting and early voting and all the tools that the Democrats have enabled right now? How much of that should we be embracing?
Well, listen, we've had people on the ground there for months in terms of an election integrity standpoint, and that's where the party really does a good job. And I think that we're keeping a watchful eye. We're monitoring everything.
Good.
But every state is different, right? In Florida, we've dominated with mail-in voting. Now our voters are liking to vote early on election day a little bit more, but you still got to embrace it. Now, the most important thing is we make it as easy as possible to vote, but as hard as possible to cheat. You follow that mantra, and every state's different. But I think that the most important thing is that everybody can't be complacent. You got to go talk to your neighbors. You got to talk to everybody you know, and you got to turn them out. Because the main goal for the party right now, not only in these elections coming up, but in the next cycle, is to convince the Trump voter that has shown up three consecutive times to vote for the president and may not have voted for these down ticket races, and to convince them that a vote for Jack is a vote for the president. And I say that because that's exactly what it is. I mean, we're going to win. I think our candidates win by embracing the president's message, the big, beautiful bill, what we've done in terms of taxes, no tax on tips, no tax on overtime, you know, lower taxes on Social Security for seniors. We're doing everything that we need to do, I think. And if we communicate that correctly, we will win. And if we convince these voters who don't normally show up to show up on behalf of the president, I think Jack's going to run away with it. And I think that we're in great shape. I love that poll that it shows him that he's 1 point up. I think the momentum's on his side. He continues to build momentum. And I think that debate last night proves the strength that he has as a candidate.
Before I let you go, Mr. Chairman, you have three kids. I see your family picture on your website. Beautiful family you have. How important is the family stuff going to this election? We talked about this a little bit earlier with parental rights and parental freedom. How important is that in this election? Because I have three kids as well. My son is 11, my daughter's 9, my other daughter's 5. So we're kind of in the same boat, you and I, in terms of our kids' ages and everything. I think it matters. I think it's part of the reason why President Trump won. I think he did so well because he was able to reach out. I think the Make America Healthy Again movement matters. But at the end of the day, I think the parental rights movement, if you want to call it that, has never been stronger than ever before. I think parents have woken up. They're crossing the aisle because of it. For many of them, they may not be registered as Republican, but they may not tell their friends. They may not post it on social media. But I think at the end of the day, they may vote on it.
Yeah, listen, I think we did real well as a result of having Robert F. Kennedy come over to and join our side with the Make America Healthy Again movement. There's no question that it makes a difference. All these things. And I think what's happened is his parents have gotten fed up and they said, enough. Enough of the wokeism. Enough of you trying to indoctrinate our children in the schools. It's you got to give parents a chance to be the leader of the family and to make these decisions. And far too often, what we've seen over the last two decades is the government intrusion in their willingness and their forcefulness of them trying to take over in some of these parental rights. It's a that's one of the things, one of the reasons, main reasons why I'm a Republican, is the ability to choose, and it's a and my choice is to raise my kids the best possible way, and it's a and I'm so fortunate to live in an America where President Trump is going to bat for the average American worker, the average American family, and the average business here in America, day in, day out. He does not care about himself the way he cares about the country and his genuine concern for the well-being of others. We're so fortunate to have him. Jack is going to lead the same way from compassion in his heart, and he's going to take it and make sure that New Jerseyans get the best possible return for their investment that they're making every time that they pay taxes. So I'm so excited about Jack's chances. I'm so thankful, Rich, that you put me on the radio today to let me to talk about a couple of these issues. And I look forward to joining you again. And I can't wait to come back to Philadelphia to watch Villanova play some more basketball and eat some more of your great food.
Well, listen, you guys stole my basketball coach because I'm a Terrapin. So I don't know if I want to watch a game with you, but you're welcome to come in studio next time you're up. We'd love to see you. I'm sure I'll see you on the campaign trail, Mr. Chairman. Congratulations. You did great on your first interview, by the way. I made this tough, and you did a good job. No, I'm kidding, but you did a really good job. And we'll follow you on X at Chairman Gruters. And we'll talk again, my friend. Best of luck to you. Let us know
what
we can do to help.
Rich. All right. Have a great one. Bye-bye.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, as we continue along, the president started speaking along with Secretary Kennedy. We're going to take a very quick break. We'll come right back with that. That is the big story of the hour, brought to you by Dr. Mike Vanaria, Vanaria Dental. Go see him today for your perfect smile. Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. If you would like to get that beautiful smile you deserve, well, then you got to go see Dr. Mike, because that's what he does. He specializes in that. He's the expert that other dentists call when it comes to the really complicated stuff. So go see Dr. Mike Vanaria today. Quick break. We'll come right back. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.